Good morning. A greeting from Second Presbyterian Church, which once was called Scotch Presbyterian Church in the city of New York. Greetings on this 228th kirking of the school from the congregation of the church to all of the parents, the visitors, and especially to the students of Alexander Robertson School. We are so pleased to be lifting up our voices in praise of the Creator of all things this day, and that you are joining your voices with us. This is the fullest that I have seen this space since the time I've been here, and it is a joy to my eye. The head of school, Mr. Erwin Schlachter, will now offer you a greeting as well.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the congregants, and welcome to our parents and their own visitors who they brought with them, and of course to our students and teachers and fellow administrators. You know, I'm honored and pleased to see, as Pastor Stephen said, so many people here. It's wonderful to see that. And in a moment, you'll be hearing from our students and just see how well prepared they are and what it is that they have to offer. So one of the things that I just want to add is that what you're going to be hearing is a combination of information that they have gathered from the Old and New Scriptures, and those things that make us all as human beings special and part of this wonderful, wonderful world. And with that, I will stop now, and we'll turn it over to our third graders first. Alexander?
O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are humans that you are mindful of them? The children of mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them little lower than gods.
You have crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Have the lyrics. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, moving to the throne of love. God of love. It's too small. Thou thought away, giver of immortal gladness, reveal the light of day. Works and dreams and the gold of your days and the rays around thee, bring your God and God of praise. Field and fountain, vale and mountain, flowery
meadow, flashing sea, river, rolling through the mortals join the happy chorus which the morning stars began to lift up, for us waiting within heaven's grand, ever singing, march we onward in the greater peak of fame.
The prayer of confession in which we admit our need of God. Let us pray in unison. Lord, open unto us. Open unto us light for our darkness. Open unto us courage for our fear. Open unto us hope for our despair. Open unto us peace for our turmoil. Open unto us joy for our sorrow. Open unto us strength for our weakness. Open unto us wisdom for our confusion. Open unto us forgiveness for our sins. Open unto us love for our hates. Open unto us thyself for myself. Lord, Lord, open unto me. Open unto us. The assurance of pardon. In the words of the prophet Jeremiah, I will forgive your iniquity and remember your sins no more.
Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield.
O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you.
You shall eat plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame.
And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female slaves. In those days, I will pour out my spirit.
Then little children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way.
Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments."
He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?"
Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven."
What wonderful readings those were. I had suggested to the young people that they might remember what it feels like to read to a younger brother or sister, and that's a good way to read to a large group of people. And I think they did beautifully. Thank you so much. Most of you probably know that education is the law. The children shall be educated. It's in the law. But 228 years ago, when the Alexander Robertson School was started by the Scotch Presbyterian Church, there was no law like that. And still, a kind of a law in the heart of the people of the old church was to start educating children, even though it wasn't the law. So my question is, why do we think it's so important to educate the children, to send them to school? Is it because we need to go to work and we got to get them somewhere? That doesn't sound like the real answer. Is it because we grown-ups want you children to be able to handle your own affairs so you can count the change in your pocket and tell what time it is and read the signs in the street? Is that why? I don't think that's a big enough reason. If those were the main reasons to educate children, you know what? It would be easier not to have children at all. That doesn't sound very smart, but it takes a lot of work to raise a child, doesn't it? If we didn't have any children at all, we wouldn't have to worry about staying late at work. We wouldn't have to make meals every day. We wouldn't have to make special arrangements when the children are sick. We wouldn't have to make play dates, right? Tricky. It might get a little too quiet in the house. I think most of us who've had children would agree. But still, these answers don't get anywhere near the real reason that we educate the children. Maybe it's because everybody's getting older and older and even old. Anybody willing to fess up to being actually old? It happens. And when we're actually old, we don't want to work so hard anymore. So maybe we educate the children so that they can take the work from us when we don't want to do it anymore or can't do it anymore. And, if that's the reason, we really do want them educated. If there's going to be a needle in my arm, I want a nurse who knows needles and arms, right? If I'm going to take the car to the repair shop, I want a repair shop where they know how a car works. If they're going to walk into a building, a big building like this one or the huge one next door, I want to trust that the people who designed it have been educated, and the people who built it and put all those girders and things together, that they know what they're doing. So yes, if we want to hand off our work, we better teach the children. If the world's going to go on being the world, and a reasonably safe one, we have to teach the children. But I still don't think we've gone very deep. When you're grown up, it is true that it's actually hard not to have work. It's not fun to not have work when you want it. Work really matters. But do we really educate children to work? Is that the whole story? I don't think so. There's more going on, and we're going to go a little deeper. Well, wait, we might stop when we say, wait a minute, maybe people have children for fun. Are you fun? Not all the time, maybe, right? But I'd say we think you're fun. I mean, the adults, generally, your parents, the teachers. It's important. It's a lovely relationship a lot of the time. It really matters. And besides, we look around at all the animals of the world. They all have children, right? And they seem to like having their kittens and their cubs and their pups. So, is that it? Well, we're not just like the animals. There's more to it than that. Years ago, I read a story, which is kind of shocking. It's for adults. It's called The Children of Men. Some of you have read it. Here's what happens in the book called The Children of Men. Now, it's a story, so don't get worried. Just a story, right? You with me? In The Children of Men, all the grown-ups stop having children. The men and women all over the world have no babies. And it goes on that way for a long, long time. And so two things happen. One is the schools are empty. All the schools are empty. In the playgrounds, what do you think you see? Trees growing. It's over. The government starts to shut things down because they think the whole human thing is going to stop. And here's the important thing. The adults start behaving very badly. It's as if the children were the guide for the adults as to why to behave. Not the other way around. You're always being told, behave, behave, by the adults, right? Well, it turns out if we didn't have you, we wouldn't have any reason to do anything. anything at all. All the people in the story, they stop doing smart stuff because they don't have a future to look into. So now we're getting into something profound, something very deep. You children are the reason that we do everything that we do. I mean it. I don't just mean your parents love you personally. I mean all the adults in the whole world have a big dream in their minds, and your existence is the reality of that dream. We heard from the Bible earlier today. This great big book. This great big book is full of very old stories about all the ways that people, lots and lots of ways that people have found out how to get through hard times. Well, what did you hear from the prophet Joel read by the fourth grade? The prophet Joel started talking to the land and he said, "Don't be afraid, land." And he talked to the animals, "Don't be afraid, animals." And then he talked to the people, "Don't be afraid, people. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right." Joel was talking to people who had come through a very hard time. Do you sometimes see in the news what happened to Puerto Rico? Go ahead, Heidi. There's a hurricane. People go through very hard times in their families, in their cities, in their whole countries sometimes. The Bible is about guidance for how to get through a hard time. And here's what Joel says at the very end. After the hard times are over, I, the Lord, says the prophet, I'm going to send my spirit on you all people. And the children, the sons and the daughters, are going to prophesy. Prophesy. What does that mean? Prophesy means that all the children are going to be able to see with their inside heart a way through the darkness and the difficulty outside. They're going to be able to participate in making the world better. And I want you to think about something, adult and young person alike. This is the big dream. This is the dream that all humanity holds in its heart. That someday our young people, after us, will be able to see with the inside heart how to make things better. We heard a story of Jesus. Almost the same kind of things come. His friends and disciples say to Jesus, "Oh, we'll keep the little ones away from you. You're an important man. You can't deal with little children." And he says, "Come on, let the little children come to me. It's to these people, people like this, that the kingdom of heaven belongs." So Jesus is opening up this vision as well. So I want to leave you with just one idea. In 10 years or so, all of you who are children, maybe it'll be 15 years, you will not be children anymore. It's going to be over. So you're children for a little while, and you know that. You're kind of wondering how it'll be to grow up. I know. We all know. We've all been through this. And so in 10 or 15 years, you're going to be joining the big parade of adults who are marching through life. Where are we all marching to? We could have a big fight in trying to answer that question. In fact, it happens all the time. But I'm going to propose that in one way, we're all marching to the big dream. We all are trying hard to get to a world of peace, a world where you see with the inside eyes how we could get through the hard times. A world where we cease to do evil, learn to do good. A world where the love that we have for our children is like the feelings we have for strangers, even when they make terrible mistakes. A time when war and poverty and hunger will cease. A time when we rush to help people in disaster or in disease. A time when we stop being so greedy and so anxious about tomorrow. A time when the young rich man who came up to Jesus and said, "How can I be really, really happy?" And when Jesus told him, "Well, you're going to have to give up your worries about the future, all your money," he got sad because he's so worried. The big dream is a time when we are not so worried. And we hold this dream, everybody, all across the world, in our hearts. We hold it, and we hold it, and we see it through you. And we hope that that's what you are learning most of all in your education. And we are so pleased at the Alexander Robertson School to be part of the big dream. Amen.
And families and congregation, of course. I'm
mic on?
I'm Heidi, as most of you probably already know. Today is no ordinary Sunday. Today is the kirking of the school. But the kirking is no ordinary celebration. The kirking is to honor and bless the school, celebrating its 228th birthday. I want to thank all the wonderful people for letting this school stand for 228 long years so that we could celebrate the kirking every year for the past 228 years. Thank you, and good morning.
Thank you, Heidi. Heidi wrote those words of welcome and celebration. So they're really awesome. Thank you. And on behalf of Second Presbyterian Church, welcome again to everyone. You guys are doing great. This has been a lot of participation, but also a lot of sitting quietly and listening, and done an awesome job. Welcome from Second Presbyterian Church. We just have a few announcements on the back. First and foremost, we want to thank the entire staff of Alexander Robertson School, our amazing teachers and administrators. If you all just want to stand for a moment and be acknowledged. Oh, kids too. Kids, teachers, everyone. Administrators. You guys, every day, do such awesome work to educate the children. And then we just have an announcement for anyone who's interested. Next weekend, October 29th, we're going to be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, which is incredible. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed to the doors of a cathedral the 95 theses, or challenges to authority of the church in Rome. And we're going to celebrate with a morning of song and readings. And there's an announcement on the back if you'd like to be more involved in the singing part of that service and celebration. You can get in touch with Ujung on our Minister of Music. Are there other announcements this morning, anyone? Okay, well, we will proceed on to our offering, where we continue the work and mission of Second Presbyterian Church. Yes, an announcement from... Of course, coffee hour. Yes, thank you for the reminder. We have coffee hour. It's a weekly tradition here, but a very special coffee hour today is an annual tradition through the door after the conclusion of the service. You're all invited. Thank you.
Thank you. my homes, my dreams, my holy shore. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams. Yes. My country's skies are bluer than the oceans, it's clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too, and clover and skies are red. Well, as blue as mine. Thou God of all the nations, a song of peace for their land and for is my prayer, O Lord of all us kingdoms. Thy kingdom come, on earth thy will be done. Let all be lifted up, fulfilled fully, and our tonight. And learn to live as one. Oh, hear now, God of all the nations, my dear, he will be done.
In the year 2003, I had a congregation sing that song while the war in Iraq was being fought. Put yourself, some of you were children, right? 15 years ago, some of you grown-ups were children. We sang that song, and I have to tell you, still my heart wells with emotion and tears because so many in that congregation were angry with me for choosing that song. They did not want to see a word spoken of other lands as blue and true and beloved as mine. This is a problem in the human heart, is it? They will not grow up. The human heart wants to stay in its shell. And so today, we opened our hearts with a vision for a time when we can sing and live into a song like that. If you happen not to sing along or read along, take it home. It's a wonderful experience, is that song. And now a benediction. Moses, according to the tradition, gave a benediction to the people who said, "May the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. May the Lord make his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you now and always. Amen."